Hello, good people. Welcome to the podcast where we talk about the weird in the world, and the topics range from crazy to explosive, all in our episodes that make you want to have fun and talk with us. Join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.me/kindcast or on Twitter and Instagram at kind_cast. This is Kind of a Big Deal, and it's time for a show. This is Kind of a Big Deal podcast with Terry Miller and Doug Parks. In this episode, we cover personal topics, our trip to Tennessee and what we expect, as well as erectile dysfunction problems and natural ways to help. We also throw in a little bit about desensitized male genitals. This is the male episode of Kind of a Big Deal podcast. Also, this is the finale, bitches! The finale of season one starts now. I'm your host, Terry Miller, and I'm joined with my handsome man,
Doug Parks.
So today, we are coming together to do our last episode of the season, and it's a little bittersweet, but we need to take some time off and do things correctly and get everything together to come back for a season two fantastically, much better, and just blow everybody away. So let's kick it off with talking a little bit about our weeks. Doug, how was your week?
My tooth hurts. It's like, so I've been like taking clove oil, putting it on there, and it helps a lot. But other than that, my week's been fine so far. I mean, today's only Tuesday, so.
So, I mean, yeah, I know that. But your week since last Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, Doug's tooth, he has some, what is it, gum deterioration?
Yeah, between the on the bottom row, the teeth right in the middle, the gap in the middle and the bottom, that's deteriorating, and they don't know why. So it hurts every now and then.
And there's really nothing that they can do for him to make it better or improve that. So that really does suck, all in all.
Yeah. Greatly. I mean, I guess they could get a rat and get some babies and take my DNA and build another gap and then surgically implant it. And then I could take pills for the rest of my life that are very fucking expensive so that I don't get rid of my or reject my donor tooth filler gapper. But that's a lot of money and a lot of prescription drugs for something that, you know, well, if my teeth fall out, I'll get fakings. Don't matter to me.
And it's just way too much time and effort, man. Like, that's just insane all around. So,
you need to clean your butt.
That was random.
I was talking to the cat. He put his tail up, his ass in my face. He's got little poop on there. You need to go clean it.
I feel like you're the walking billboard of ADHD in adults.
I don't know. I feel like you have three keyboards, and I don't know which one is the one you're supposed to use.
I do have multiple keyboards on my desk. Very observant of you.
No, I also feel like last season ended on us more of a bitch fest and being angry about stuff. And I want to work on that. So when we come back in the new season, we're fresh and new and back to our old funny selves where we talk positively about ourselves and others, build people up, give people good advice, things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I agree with you. Taking from what we learned from season one, just building on that and coming back as better human beings and being able to work on ourselves is a big part of life. So that's what we have to do to take some time off. Real quick before I jump into my week, I just want to let you guys know about Pridecast 2020. It is coming July 28th. Doug and I will be working very hard on it during our time off, and I am extremely stoked to be able to bring this to you guys.
Stoked.
I'm from stoked. The 90s. So I say stoked. I say the bomb.
Yeah.
What are things that you say from your era that people will get you weird about?
Psych.
That was a big one.
Yeah. So I said I use your mom today, and it was perfect because Steve Askew and his daughter were both in the lab, and there was other people in the lab, but I walked through and I heard Steve say, "I don't know what really makes it smell like that." And I said, "Your mom," and I kept going. And his daughter turned around and gave me this look. She's laughing her ass off. She thought it was so funny.
Oh, burn. Yeah,
like, your mom.
Another one that I say sometimes that people get annoyed with, and I don't know why they get annoyed with it, but it just escaped me. Like, I'm sitting here talking and it escapes me all the time. But anyways, let me just jump into my week, and if I think of it, I will come back to it. So my week was great. We went tubing. We invited Susan along, and she had a blast. Her son had a blast.
Yeah, Jason.
And my brother Cody also came along with us. Mm-mm-mm. And had a great time until the very end. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. He rolled off of his tube rather than sit up. Because if you sit up, the tube comes up behind you and you can jump in the water. If you roll off of it, you're just floating on top of the water, and as you start to sink, the current grabs you and jerks your feet out from under you. But you have to literally sit up and dive, go 10 first down so you can stand on the right bottom and hold on to your raft. There's like an art to getting off your tube. He rolled off of it and it ripped his glasses off and sent them downstream. So now Cody has no glasses.
And now Cody, to see. And now Cody is unable to go to
Tennessee
with us
and go tubing in Tennessee. He said it's going to be a very long time before he goes tubing again.
I would probably think so.
I mean, I'd do it like as soon as I got my glasses. I'd go back. I'd stomp down to that river. I'd throw the tube on there. I'd jump on it. I would ride that river, get to the end of it, and get off that tube the right way, get out and turn around the river and say, "Fuck you.
I just made you my bitch."
Yeah. That's what I would do.
So I got some crazy sunburn on top of all of that cool stuff that happened. And it was just really crazy of a week. And it was fun. Had a blast. But yeah, so moving right along on to our next topics. Something that we're going to work on when we come back is that Doug doesn't do 27 different things while we're trying to talk to each other.
I am better if I just have a conversation normal and act normal. You know, unless we're laying on bed watching TV, I'm doing stuff. When we conversate and talk.
Well, you kind of can't lay on the bed and record because then your voice might be wonky.
That's not what you meant. Totally missed the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure half of our listeners missed it, and the other half are like, "What the fuck? Why didn't they get that?"
Oh, is it one of those things?
So, what do you want me to do?
Talk.
I am talking.
So, Doug has a few topics that he wants to discuss with me. So, go ahead, Doug.
Why do so many gay men like to turn a straight man when clearly all you're doing is sleeping with a closeted gay man? You're not turning anybody gay. So I really don't see why it's so exciting to them when you're really not turning a straight man. I'm pretty sure there are some cases where you'll get a straight man that his wife ain't giving it to him, and in his mind he's like, it's not cheating if it's with a guy, and I'll just get a blowjob and I won't look down, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But like, that's very fucking rare, and like, all the stars have to align perfectly for that to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's just too much stuff that has to be right. Most of the time it's just guys that are in the closet and they're fucking married to women and they're going to sleep with men. So you're not really turning a straight man.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, there's many different sexualities, so
yeah,
who's to say they're not a different sexuality, they're not actually straight.
Yeah, like, I don't think that people are straight, and I don't think they're gay. I think they're either bisexual, pansexual, trisexual, you know, they'll try anything once.
Yeah.
You know, just like, let me see if I like this. And like, some dudes just don't care. They're like, whatever, you know, like, they don't care if it's a man or a woman.
Yeah.
They also don't really have emotion and fall in love and stuff like that. Some might get married because they want to have kids, but, you know.
Yeah, valid point. And, I mean, like, some men can shut their emotions off, and other men are more emotional and emotionally attached.
Yeah.
Too. So, Doug also asks, why does healthy food taste so bad when that's how your body is naturally created to eat? You would think junk food would taste like shit because you're not supposed to have it. The fuck's going on there?
Yeah. To elaborate on that, if you put a roasted almond salad in front of me with spinach, dandelion root, you know, and all this super perfect things you should eat, and, you know, and then you stick a fucking Meat Lovers or a Pepperoni Supreme pizza in front of me with extra sauce from our favorite pizza place, I'm picking that fucking pizza, you know, and the pizza can be bad or good, I guess, whatever. It's junk food, you know, but like, that's the stuff that tastes good. But when we were, I'm thinking whether we evolved or we were created, whatever it was, we were mainly vegetarians. So shouldn't vegetables of all kinds be more delightfully tasting to us than anything else? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thought, but
it goes right in hand with the next conversation we're getting into later about, like, the more sex you have, the less it feels good without furthering stimulation. It also goes hand in hand with people who are addicted to things. You know, everybody, I think, has an addiction. Some people it's food, some people it's gambling, some people it's everything. You know, some people, they smoke so much weed that they don't feel like they're high anymore. You know, some people, you know, they just overindulge to the extent that it doesn't work for them anymore.
And you also have, like, those things too. There's people too that have, like, an addictive personality. So as soon as something's, like, put in front of them, then they're instantly, like, constantly wanting that and needing that. And until it literally doesn't work for them anymore, but they need it. So, very accurate. How about your Pride Dessert Fairy?
So I had this idea, not so much of fairy, but I guess you could say that. But I think straight people and gay people could do this. But if you have a straight family that loves you and supports you, if you have if you know a straight person that knows you and trusts you but doesn't support what you do, you know, we can make some cupcakes and cookies and put I love you on them and I accept you for you and things like that, encouraging things, and then go leave them for those people or give them something to eat, you know, and hook up people and get to know people, you know, take some cookies and treats over to a neighbor and sit and share them with them or something like that and get to know each other. Most people don't even talk to their neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like it used to be with neighbors where you brought them a casserole and was like, welcome to the neighborhood. So, like, a lot of that stuff has died.
Yeah.
It's very keep to yourself and stuff like that. So I completely get where that would totally be. It's an interesting concept too. Almost like the wine fairy concept that, you know, you went on the Facebook page and you put your name in there and then somebody could leave you wine. But yeah.
Yeah. I also think it could be, there's no rules to it, you know? Like, I honestly think local churches, if you love people and don't judge people, then you should be going into these communities and telling people you love them and not judge them. Not set up booths saying God hates fags and God hates queers. You know, Pride's coming up. And when I went last year, there was churches that were marching in the parade that gay members belonged to. And then there was churches lined up down the side that was saying God hates fags. And all this ignorant stuff, and people were chanting things. So there's like two different views on the same thing. But which one's right, which one's wrong? You know, I think the one that's wrong is the one that's screaming, I hate you. When if you have God and God is love, then you can't possibly hate somebody for anything. You know?
Yeah. And it's an age old thing is that God loves everyone. And you know, everybody says that God hates fags and God hates people that are transgender and bisexual and stuff like that. Who knows that? Who knows that he does not love you? I think he does. And you wouldn't have been created if there wasn't a reason for you to be created. And that's my honest opinion on that.
That's how Sue sees it. But that's how Clay sees it.
So let's move on to erectile dysfunction.
Ooh.
So
don't be ashamed.
We're going to talk a little bit about erectile dysfunction. And because if you're a guy, of course, you know, it's something that you end up dealing with eventually in your life. If you do not, then
awesome.
Awesome. So, first of all, we're going to tell you exactly what erectile dysfunction is.
A happy dick is a healthy dick.
Erectile dysfunction occurs when a man can't keep or get an erection firm enough for sexual intercourse. Erectile dysfunction can be a sign of physical or psychological condition. It can cause stress, relationship strain, and low self-confidence.
Low, 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 low.
And it definitely does. It does cause a lot of self-confidence issues in men. And it's one of those things that men won't talk about.
I'll talk about it because I deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the top in the relationship. But why? You know, up until 2 years ago, I was one of the best tops there was. You know, I was a toppity top, top motherfucker, top and everything. You know what I mean?
Tooting your own fucking horn now, huh?
So, like, yeah, like, oh, good.
That's and what all when, the like, boys
when
said.
When the mighty have fallen, it fucking destroys them, you know? I think those who have achieved much also suffer more. You know, like people who have achieved a certain level, like of riches or whatever, let's say you're the richest person in the world, you lose all your money, you're going to suffer more than a billionaire that lost their money or a millionaire that lost their money. You know what I mean? Because you achieved more and you lost more. The loss was greater.
Yeah.
So, it's something that it's horrible and I can't explain it, but it's something that I'm going through and I'm going to go through it. I'm not going to let it break me down, you know, but.
And from just like being the other person in the relationship too, like there's things that, cause I'm an asshole and I say things that I think's a joke, but it shouldn't be joked about because of something that he's dealing with. And so as the other person, you also have to be mindful of that too. Like you have to be respectful to this thing that they're going through and help them. Don't degrade them or make jokes that could be insensitive to the issue or what's going on.
Well, it's just like when I was with my ex, I was honest about things that were going on. Like, I didn't understand really what's going on, but I know it's going on. And his response was a lot different from yours. You know, he chose to cheat and lie and cover things up. You know, I'm sorry shit ain't working the way it should. But I went as far as saying you can do what you want. I just want to know about it. You know, you didn't have to lie and hide it. You didn't have to say the cruel, mean things you did because you're pissed off or because you think I'm not interested in you anymore or whatever the crap came up with. You know, you're taking something that's my issue and making it about you. When honestly, if you care about me right now, you'll work with me on this and we can get past it a lot quicker. You know, why tear somebody down when if you build somebody up, you can get them past what they're going through a lot quicker?
Yeah, and the way that I look at it too is, this isn't going to be the only thing that we deal with, and it isn't going to be the only thing that we struggle with, and it's not going to be the only issue that you have. It's not going to be the only issue that I have. And if you can't make it through one issue together, then you're not going to be able to make it through any other issue together. So my approach on it was, and I've probably said to you how many times, I'm not trying to be pushy. I'm not trying to be pushy. Because sometimes I feel like I'm being pushy, but I'm just trying to help. And my thing was, is we did research on it, and much why we are sharing it now on the podcast is because we did share, or we did find some interesting things and share things with each other that helped in a way that we are now trying a natural approach to try to help you out and do better and be better. And so that's why we were like, well, let's discuss this on the podcast and talk about it a little bit.
And it's also the best thing we could do right now because a lot of doctor's offices are shut down. Things are shut down. People aren't able to go see a doctor for things like this. You know, so like, it's okay right now to try the all natural way and try your best because most of the time that works anyway, if you really get into it. You know, I've been healed of, I've reversed diabetes, you know, cause I was a type 2 diabetic and I was in pre-diabetic phase and I was pretty up there and they said I was pretty close. They said, if you absolutely do not do everything you can right now, you're going to be diabetic. And I researched it and went on the web and found out what foods I can have and what foods I can't, what foods reverse it and what foods don't, you know, and I dived into it. And within 2 months, I got a clean bill of health. She's like, you're fine. This is, I don't even know what they were talking about, you know, type deal. But you hear about people that have miraculous healings. Well, maybe they dived into being healthy because they were like, oh my God, you know, like, but they don't give credit to that. You know, a lot of my aunts and stuff that like had cancer and stuff like that was like, give God the glory. It's all about God. But what did God lead you to think or do to reverse it? What did you change? Did you just keep the same behavior and you just had a miraculous healing? Whatever. Like, I think you did something. I think you changed something and you just don't want to make a thing of it or say anything because you're whatever reason. So, but yeah, people need to know. Is there a natural way to do things without giving your money to Big Pharma so they can pop a pill in your mouth and give you all kinds of other side effects that you have to take pills for? Big Pharma does not want you healed. They want you to stay just sick enough that you rely on all their pills and you keep making them richer. But there's tons of fucking natural shit out there. If you just do the, look it up, Google it, you know?
So one thing like to add to that is when we were Googling, the thing that I found most interesting is when you type in all natural corrections
homeopathic
to ED, it comes up, first thing that comes up is the pills that you're used to, like your pills from him, your Viagra, your the other pill that they actually sell like over the counter. It's like a male enhancement thing.
Extends and all that crap. Extends, that stuff don't work.
And
I tried all that.
So what we decided to do was look at these natural ways and take some of these things that would help improve and try them out. And that was my approach to it after, you know, listening to Doug and being around Doug and stuff. It was me, how could I help him, and how could me as a person be better than everybody else was? So we're just going to talk a little bit about the six ways that we had found to help ED and the ones that we decided to do.
And we'll let you know how they work out because we just started this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Panax ginseng is something they actually call it the herbal Viagra, which I thought was kind of interesting. And
I haven't started taking that yet. We have to order it offline.
Yeah, and this is the number one trusted natural remedy for ED. And it's been tested since 2008 for, you know, helping and changing and reversing the effects of ED. And it's actually, they have said that it is actually very, very good and it works very well. So, Rhodiola rosea, they did a small study on this that indicated that if you did 150 to 200 milligrams a day for 3 months, then you would experience substantially improved sexual function. DHEA, which is a natural hormone produced by the adrenal glands, and it can be converted to both estrogen and testosterone inside the body. Scientists make the dietary supplement from wild yam and soy. So, L-arginine.
Yeah.
It's an amino acid naturally present in your body. It helps make nitric oxide. And nitric oxide relaxes your blood vessels to facilitate erection and is essential for healthy sexual functioning. And actually, that's one that we did find and we are trying out. Acupuncture. This one is kind of interesting on it. And I'll probably, you know, take a couple extra seconds on this one because I think it's interesting. So, those studies are mixed. You know, many show positive results when acupuncture is used to treat ED. A 1999 study, which is a trusted source, found that acupuncture improved the quality of erections and restored sexual activity in 39% of participants. So that's kind of interesting.
So, once again, where do you go to get acupuncture done? Only person I know that does it is those old Chinese people in the movies that stood back like 30 feet and threw them, and they landed all in the right spot. You know, Mac put diesel fuel in his gas tank.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I just looked up on. It came across Snapchat, and he's like, I'm an idiot. He's like, I put diesel in my gas tank. I'm like, how do you do that when, like, shit. I'm like, how do you do that when the diesel pump is fatter than the regular gas pump? They don't fit together.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I have no clue where you can get acupuncture from.
Can you Google while you're sitting there?
I can. I can Google anything that you want to know.
Acupuncture.
Acupuncture.
I see like that, like old Chinese medicines and stuff. Like, there's like they do a lot of all natural stuff. You know, they're into yoga. That fucking works amazing. I've done it. You know, they're into feng shui, like designing your home so that it's pleasing and more navigable to your mind and like less stress. That stuff works, you know.
Yeah, so with a quick Google search, there's literally three of them that are relatively close to us. So two of them are actually in the Bel Air area, and one of them is in Abingdon area.
Mm. Right by me.
Yeah. So so there is three very close to us to get it done.
So is that something we should try?
Yeah. I mean, I would rather try all of our natural options before we go with any other option.
Oh, yeah. I want to try all the natural first. I hate medicine. I mean, if it's a last resort and you need medicine to function for a while, medicine should never be a permanent fix. Medicine is a temporary solution. You know what I mean? Like, you do it temporarily if you have to until you can figure out what the issue is.
And number six is yoyimbe. This supplement is extracted from the bark of the African yoyimbe tree. Some studies from a trusted source have shown positive effects on sexual performance with the use of this drug.
Now, I have used that drug. It worked, not 100%, because things would get super hard. And then just fucking take a nosedive, mainly because my blood pressure shot up and I was sweating to death. And I felt like I was tripping on acid. Like, it was weird. Like, I did not like those effects. The side effects to that bark, they came in a capsule and it was just tree bark is all it is. But the side effects to that bark, I think I took entirely way too much. Like, I went by the package instructions and I just think I'm hypersensitive to it. So maybe I shouldn't have taken so much.
So you know? It's not that you're hypersensitive to it, because the American Urologist Association actually doesn't recommend yoyimbe as an ED treatment. This is because there's not a lot of evidence proving that it works. And plus, the side effects might be damaging to health. And they include increased blood pressure, heart rate, irritability, and tremors.
Yeah, so that's like everything I got. And I tried that stuff three times. And the last time I took it, I thought I was going to die. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I dumped all the shit. I didn't even give it to somebody else. I went and dumped it in the toilet and watched the little capsules dissolve and flush that shit. I'm like, bye-bye. Because, like, I did not like it.
So, other potential natural treatments. Other alternative therapies thought to help ED include zinc supplements, especially for men who are low in zinc. The herb Indian ginseng and ginkgo biloba. Sorry, had trouble with that one. But more studies are needed to know what's with certainty.
You know, the ginkgo tree is the only tree that has parallel veins in its leaves.
Fun fact.
Yeah, like all leaves and trees, like the veins run in like every like cracked looking.
Yeah.
Especially maple, but your ginkgo tree is the only one that has parallel veins running it.
Huh. That is awesome.
Unless there's another tree out there now, but that was in high school when I learned that. That was a long time ago.
So we do have to let you know that you should talk to your doctor before trying any natural supplement or anything. And if you are experiencing symptoms of ED, there could be other underlying health issues. So talk to your doctor first. Also, all of these things that we had talked about are not FDA approved. Another thing that they do recommend is lifestyle changes. And in many cases, changes to your lifestyle and diet can help ease ED symptoms. Lifestyle changes that could help improve your sexual function include exercising and losing weight. They also include stop smoking and curbing your alcohol intake. Your diet can also affect your sexual performance. For information on which foods might benefit you, such as cocoa and pistachios, you can read about it online. And we'll actually put some more information up on the Facebook page. We'll put a couple links that you can read about this stuff in more detail and take your own gander at it.
And pistachios actually have natural melatonin effects and properties to it. So, like, you don't need melatonin in the pill. You can take a handful of pistachios before bed and fall right to sleep. It doesn't like make you sleep or put you to sleep, but it helps you go to sleep.
Yeah. So another topic that we had thought of like bringing up on this episode is actually a desensitized penis. So, and it's common among men. There's a lot of men that struggle with a desensitized penis, which they also call death grip syndrome. And the reason being is because a lot of guys tighten their grip as they continue to masturbate to get a different pleasure, because it's harder and harder for them to ejaculate and climax, or climax is ejaculation, but you got me. So that's actually why they call it that. They don't know where it started, but that's why they call it that.
Plus, supposedly an asshole is tighter than a vagina. So people that top a lot anally, if they were to have sex with a woman, it would be harder for them to get off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, if you really think about it, vaginas have different tightnesses too.
Yeah.
So it could be an issue. So desensitized penis or death grip syndrome refers to the desensitization of nerves in the penis due to frequently masturbating in a very specific way, with a tight grip, for example. As a result, you have a hard time climaxing without recreating that one very specific move. So, death grip syndrome isn't officially recognized as a medical condition. The majority of the evidence online is anecdotal, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So some experts have actually believed that the death grip syndrome is a subject of delayed ejaculation, which is a recognized form of erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
Plus, the whole idea of the penis being desensitized due to too much stimulation isn't new at all. So as I was saying, it does occur a lot in men and everything like that. So it's not something that we haven't seen before or people haven't dealt with before. It's slightly common. Plus,
you have menopause. Like, when men hit their 40s, they tend to start going through their midlife crisis. You know, because 40 in a man's head is like half the age you're going to live, because they think you're living to 80. You can live to 100 or 120. You know what I mean? Like, if you're healthy enough and do the right things, you know. There's a 89-year-old guy who's been vegan his whole life, and he was telling his story the other day, and he still mows his yard, and he still runs around, and he's super active. You can't even tell he's that old, you know? So
the main question is it reversible? And that's something that I've actually asked myself, is it reversible? And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because of Doug suffering from ED. I suffer from this death grip syndrome. It's kind of a weird name if you really think about it, but I get why that is the name. So there isn't a lot of research available on death grip syndrome specifically, but people have reported reversing or curing it. So these are the ways that they suggest you to try to reverse or cure it. So take a break. Start out by taking a week-long break from any kind of sexual stimulation, including masturbation, which is probably very hard for men in all cases, because usually men are very sexually active beings. Ease back in. So over the next 3 weeks, you can gradually start masturbating again, slowly increasing the frequency during these 3 weeks. Let your sexual urges lead the erections naturally without having to lend a hand. It may sound counterintuitive, given that you're jerking off is what may have got you there in the first place. But this process is supposed to help you relearn how to savor and enjoy stimulation.
Yeah, because when I was younger in high school, as soon as I got inside somebody, I came. Like, I couldn't last more than like 5 seconds. And that was embarrassing. So I started using masturbation and forcing myself to wait longer before I come. And I did that for like 6 months. And I got myself to where I could go for an hour or two and it's just like have multiple orgasms, you know? But I drove myself to that point. Who's to say because I did that when I was younger, I wore myself out. And my body's like, fuck you. You've had enough sex, you know? It needs a break. Like, I need to relax and calmly enter into anything I'm doing so I'm not feeling stressed. Because stress is one of the things I'm dealing with about it. Because as soon as it doesn't work right, I have this cycle of defeat that just brings me down.
Yeah, and I also, like, brought up the psychology behind the past, too. Is there still things, and, you know, Doug's much like everybody else in the world, that when you bring this up, it's no, I've dealt with all my shit. I don't have a problem. But the way that the brain works is there could be things that are in the background that are like an app on your phone running in the background that's, you know, de-energizing your phone and you don't realize that it's de-energizing your phone. That's what those things in your brain is doing to your body. It's causing your body not to work correctly because it's de-energizing it. And you're not aware of them because they're not on the forefront, but the only thing that you can do is to talk until something comes up, and then you're going to eventually realize, oh, that might be what it is. So change up your technique. Changing your technique is key. It's not just about loosening or your forceful grip, but also trying slower, gentler strokes. You'll need to experiment with different sensations to break yourself of the habit of only being able to come with certain moves. You can also try using different types of lubes and incorporating sex toys. If you still feel like you aren't quite back to your previous sensitivity after 3 weeks, give yourself a bit more time. If these techniques don't work and you're in a relationship, a conversation with your partner is in order if you want another shot without medical intervention. If you do have a partner, talk to your partner, and this can help ease your anxiety around sex, which is another issue that can interfere with sexual drive and function. After you've gotten the masturbation thing down, try doing it until you're about to come. Then switch to another type of sex with your partner. This can help get you used to the sensation of climaxing with or around the same time as your partner. What else could it be? So the other factors of what it could be is age, and age ultimately in a man is the, once you get older, your testosterone lowers. Even some young folks have low testosterone. So that's really why you need to talk to a doctor if you're having this issue after trying those rejuvenating techniques. And low testosterone can lead to low libido, mood changes, and make you less responsive to sexual stimulation. Medical conditions could be the cause, like diabetes, multiple sclerosis, Peyronie syndrome, stroke, hypothyroidism, and some medications. Certain cancer drugs, heart and blood pressure medications, anticonvulsions, antibiotics, alcohol, psychological issues. So all of these different things can cause your body not to work properly and correctly and cause issues for you. So the bottom line is, masturbation isn't a bad thing. It's totally natural and even beneficial. If you think you might have death grip syndrome, there are always ways to change the habits that got you there.
You hear that, Canadians? There's always options.
All right, so our quote of the week is, openness may not completely disarm just prejudge.
You had to start all over.
openness may not completely disarm prejudice, but it's a good place to start. This was said by Jason Collins, which was the first openly gay male athlete that played in a U.S. professional sport.
Ooh. Did he have tight buns?
I don't know, hon. All right. So, like I said,
sissy that walk.
Thank you. Pridecast, July 28th. So we will be working hard on that. So we really, 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 really would appreciate it if you guys listen. Share our post about Pridecast on Facebook.
And get a hold of Twitter. Us. We want to hear from you.
Yes, and get a hold of us. Yeah.
If, Canadians, German, if you want to be on the podcast, you're welcome.
So on that note, if you want to write us, send everything to KOABDpodcast@gmail.com. This is the last episode of the season.
Aww.
We will be back in 1 to 2 months. We will keep you posted on the Facebook page on when we will be back. And
hopefully we'll be in a house by then.
Hopefully. So until next time, stay true.
And always
hug someone. And always be
a big deal.
A big deal. Bye.
Bye-bye. You beautiful people.
Thank you for listening to Kind of a Big Deal podcast. We will be back very soon with brand new episodes. And when we return, look out for our awesome new KOABD present shows, like Wine Club, a bonus episode twice a month with Terry and his gal pals, as they talk all girl and gay for the week. During this time, KOABD will still be on its scheduled time. Also coming soon, check out KOABD Presents Tea Time with Paul Douglas and KOABD Presents Carpool. Terry Miller can be followed on Twitter and Instagram at TerryMiller91. Terry has two Y's. Follow Terry on TikTok at Terry Clay Miller Jr. Doug Parks can be followed on TikTok at DouglasParks7. Follow the podcast on Facebook at facebook.me/kindcast. Follow the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at kind_cast. Thanks much. Bye, bitch.